So I need a show of hands. Who loves Christmas movies? Oop, there's a bottle of water there. Is your favorite represented up here? So we have a fun activity today. Since we're all in here in the room together, I thought it'd be fun, instead of a typical sermon, for us to write our own Christmas movie. That'd be fun, write our own Christmas movie? No, not a good idea. Maybe it's not a good idea. Because one's not enough. Let's create an epic trilogy, a three-part Christmas movie series, right? It'll have all the ingredients of a blockbuster. It'll have a timeless storyline, intriguing character development, plot twists, a hit soundtrack, and in the end, you might be offered a role. So we better get to work, huh? We can't just start writing, though, right? A great writer knows the end from the beginning, right? So our trilogy needs a central theme. And since it's Christmas, and most movies today are based on existing intellectual property, I have an idea. Let's use the greatest story ever, right? Hope, born into a hopeless world. Light shattering darkness, redemption and salvation, a story that's timeless and exists outside of time. A story that's found in John chapter 1, verse 1. If you want to turn there, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. We jump to verse 18. He has revealed God to us. So we're in the season of Advent, and Jesus, who is God, came to this world and became human to save us. And this Word that has always existed is Jesus. This scripture tells us that Jesus has always been, he currently is, and he always will be. So I kind of think we have our trilogy storyboarded for us, right? Jesus was, Jesus is, Jesus will be. So let's get to movie making. I think our trilogy begins with a prequel, right? Because in the beginning, the Word already existed. And that's perfect for the preview trailer's smooth baritone voice. In the beginning, the Word already existed. We'll get somebody else to do the voiceover, a real manly man, but you get the idea. It also explains some big concepts that we'll see later. Right? In the very first scene, we see the Trinity. Right? God the Father and Jesus are together, one God existing in three persons. We'll get to the Spirit later. We're just setting the table here. The prequel begins on a flash forward. Right? We see Jesus aware of his looming betrayal and arrest and death. So he's praying to the Father. We see him reminiscing on their time before creation existed. He reflects on the love that they share, and he asks that his followers would know the same love. So our opening scene will pan down from a starry sky to our Savior. And the sounds we hear in nature will become the words of his prayer. And he says, "Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began." So then our film is going to cut to a scene early in Jesus' earthly life. The Pharisees, they were religious leaders who were, they were more concerned with their outward appearance, right, than inward devotion to God. They were challenging Jesus, and Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am." And this is the keystone to our prequel movie, that Jesus is eternal. Right before time and creation existed, Jesus was. Right before we needed a map or a calendar or a watch, Jesus was. Before time began, Jesus was. So that's the title of our prequel movie, Jesus Was. Now we need something really important, the overall title of our trilogy. Can you name some trilogies that are well known?
Die Hard.
Die Hard, good. It's a Christmas movie, yeah. Jake, trilogies, come on. Star Wars, yeah. Back to the Future. Hunger Games. Wayne's World. I can never remember if there was a third. But so the title of our trilogy, I suggest the Word. Right? Because our text from John 1 is all about the Word coming to make a home among us. Okay, so let's move on to film 2, Jesus Is. Our scripture goes on to lay out the premise of our middle movie. It says the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This is juicy. This is good, right? An unstoppable hero bringing grace and mercy. His life brought light to everyone. To everyone. This is going to be good. This is going to need a holiday release. So let's get our people on that, okay? We're going to do some serious character development in this film. And first, we see that Jesus is life. He's always existed, and he is the very source of life. So we'll need a flashback to God breathing life into the first man he created. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Jesus gave him life. So we have several options for the next scene. Are you guys tracking? Do you get what we're doing? We're making movies. Come on. So several options for the next scene, since Jesus is all about the business of giving life. Right, we could do a montage with an upbeat song, Jesus canceling a funeral and performing miraculous healings on his way to restore a teen girl's life. That's an option. But hear me out. What if we pan up from a graveyard? What if we sweep from a tomb to Jesus and we hear one word reverberate in the distance, Lazarus, Lazarus. Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Right? Life appears at his command because Jesus is life. And just a bonus, I love this fact. Do you know why he had to say Lazarus' name? Because if Jesus walked up to a graveyard and said, "Come out," it would look like the Thriller video. That's... So the trilogy episode is going to go further into Jesus' character development, and we also see that Jesus is light. He's the light that shines into darkness, right? We create some tension here because we acknowledge the existence and the power and even the seduction of darkness. But that tension is released when we reveal that Jesus is light. Remember those Pharisees, those religious leaders who just want to appear like everything's great? We cut back to them, again, confronting Jesus. And Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." So darkness has a stronghold on this world. But Jesus leads us into eternal life with his light. This is good. It's going to be a good movie. It's so good, I think we need a little misdirect. Right? We need to set up a cliffhanger. So here's my suggestion for the final scene of this film. John the Baptist appears. Some people will think that he's the Savior. Right? So we're going to create some more tension and set up anticipation for the next movie. It says, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He's coming. Stay tuned for episode 3 of our trilogy. The final film is going to be set in the near future, because the premise and the title is Jesus will be. Right? In the future, Jesus will be. So in the very opening scene, we see a crying young mother begging God to provide for her family after her husband walked out. We cut to a middle-aged man, bottle in hand, wanting his family but being more faithful to his addiction. We pan out to an older couple. They look like nice people, warm and caring. They've done all the good they can and find themselves in a world that's anything but good. And finally, we see a little boy hiding under his covers with the sound of his parents fighting in the background. Is it his fault? Is he not enough? The next scene is in a church, not too different from ours, on Christmas Eve. The preacher makes a couple of soft jokes, and then he cuts to the heart. He asks the congregation the same thing I'll ask you this morning. Do you feel lost? Hopeless? Are you in some kind of chains? Are you scared of being exposed? Or have you done all the good you can and just wonder if it matters? Do you wonder if you're enough? Wonder if you matter? He continues to prod. He said, this world is obviously messed up, so where does your value come from? What determines your worth? Where are you looking for hope? So we flash back to Jesus' birth in the manger. In the words of John 1, fill the silent night. It says, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Plot twist. Right? People thought they knew where salvation would come from. Right? They thought they knew what hope would look like. A fearsome warrior or a suave savior. Or they were trusting in their own effort, trying to earn God's favor. So now in this scene, we'll cut back to the preacher, and he switches from questions to some answers. He says, maybe you've tried it all. Maybe you tried all the vices, all the escapes from your situation. Or maybe you've tried to be the best version of yourself. Maybe you've tried it all, but something's missing. You tried it all, but something's still missing. And in this scene, we see some familiar faces in the church crowd. Right? We see the young mother who poured out her heart and her tears to God. We see her estranged husband who's at rock bottom and at the end of his rope. We see that older couple who've done all the good they can and they just wonder what's the point of it all. We see the little boy who cried himself to sleep and his parents sitting next to him smiling as if everything was perfect. And the preacher carries on, as they tend to do.
Tell me about it.
And he says, you might feel like you've looked everywhere for hope. But when hope appeared on this earth, he was overlooked. Jesus came to save his own people, and they didn't recognize him. They even rejected him. But John goes on to say, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So it is not your behavior that earned God's love. Your achievement don't warrant God's favor. A clean living doesn't punch a ticket into heaven, right? But all who believe and accept Jesus are reborn into God's family. They live in his love and will reign with him forever. And here's where you come into the film. You're offered a role. When you believe in Jesus as Savior and trust him as Lord, you are a part of God's story. You enter his family and begin eternity in his presence. You can trust him for tomorrow and talk to him today. And this role is already given to you. It's already offered to you. I'm your agent, and I'm telling you, take the part. All you have to do is accept it. You could never earn it, so just accept it. Accept God's love. Embrace his forgiveness. Tell him how much you need it. Right? You've been pigeonholed as a character actor, and you played some dark parts. You've been angry, impatient, unforgiving. You've been a cheater, an addict, a liar. Because of Jesus, you were offered a new role. You're seen and known, loved. You're forgiven, redeemed, worthy. You are embraced and you are made whole. It's the role of a lifetime, and it's yours if you accept it. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus will be. And he invites us to be with him now and for eternity by believing and accepting him. Okay, now we're at the hardest part of filmmaking. We got to end this thing. Endings are tough. Good news. We don't have to write a conclusion because the story never ends. Right? Jesus ushers us into eternity. He is the finale. Another challenge. We need a hit soundtrack. I've got just the song. From the Christmas hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Smash hit. Soundtrack done. One final detail. We need a tagline, a summary phrase for our movie poster. You've seen them, right? Still the fairest of them all. Who you gonna call? Everyone deserves a chance to fly. For these guys, every day is a no-brainer. I think John has already done it for us. He said, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. He has revealed God to us. That's a wrap, people. The word revealing God to us. He came to make a home among his people. So let's be a welcoming home to him today. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus will be. God, we thank you. Since you have always been, you are, and you will be, God, what relief that is. That you've always been, so you have redeemed our past through your mercy. God, what a comfort it is that you are today. And what hope it is that you will be in the future. So God, we trust our past to your mercy, today to your love, and tomorrow to your providence. And I just pray for anyone in this room who doesn't know you, doesn't know your love, God, that in this season, that they would see the truth that you came for them, even in spite of all the stuff we've done. You've come for us. And you know that all, and you love us. So God, I pray that anyone who doesn't know that, that you would just show them your grace in a way that they cannot resist. And for those of us who know you, God, that we would recognize that you came so we can let you in. We can let you into our lives, every part. There's nothing too small for you to care about, nothing too great to be beyond your control. So we thank you, God, for the way that you love us. We are in awe of you, and we are in wonder that you would come here in flesh to be with us. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.